जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिप्रगाचार्य अष्टोतस्ति वाइन ग्रह सबरिंद भक्त वेदांत स्वामी शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कान फाउंडर आचार्य शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य शिला हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से गौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास्यदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। माया पुण्यवदीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। द्वारका धाम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनं शलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरुन् श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदानुसहगना श्रीललिता श्रीविशाखावितं च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवी प्रणामामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्य कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 26 राइट। Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Okay, I guess we will chant together, right? Ajnana samgyo bhavabandha moksha do nam nanyosta ritagya bhavat. अजस्र चिन्त्यात्मनि केवले परे विचार्यमाने तरना विवाहने अज्ञान संज्ञौ भवबन्ध मोक्षौ द्वौ नाम नान्योस्तर्ऋतज्ञ भावात्। अजस्त्रचित्यात्मनि केवले परे विचार्यमाणे तरणाविवाहने अज्ञानसंज्ञौ भवबन्धमोक्षौ द्वौ नाम नान्यौ स्तरितज्ञभावात् अजस्रचित्यात्मनि केवले परे विचार्यमाणे तरणाविवाहने माताजी ज्ञान मैनिफेस्टिंग फ्रॉम इग्नोरेंस संज्ञौ विच डेजिग्नेशंस भवबन्ध बॉन्डेज टू मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस मोक्षौ एंड लिबरेशन द्वौ द टू नाम इंडीड न Not. Anyau, separate. Staha, are. Rita, true. Gyanabhavat, from knowledge. Ajasrachitti, whose awareness is unimpeded. Atmani, the spirit soul. Kevale, who is separate from matter. Pare, who is pure. Vicharyamane, when he is properly distinguished. Taranau, within the sun. Eva, just as. Ahani, day and night. Translation and purport. Translation. The conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. Being outside the scope of true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul is distinct from matter and always fully conscious. At that time, bondage and liberation no longer have any significance, just as day and night have no significance from the perspective of the sun. Purport. Material bondage is illusion because the living entity actually has no real relationship with the material world. Because of false ego, the conditioned soul identifies himself with matter. Therefore, so-called liberation is simply the giving up of an illusion rather than release from actual bondage. Yet, even if we think that the suffering of the material illusion is real and that liberation is thus a meaningful release from suffering, The mere absence of material existence is still insignificant compared to the achievement of actual spiritual life, which is the positive eternal reality opposed to the negative illusion of material life. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness or pure love of Godhead is the only significant, meaningful and permanent status for every living entity. Since the darkness of night is caused by the absence of the sun, one would not experience night within the sun itself, nor would one experience individual days separated by nights. Similarly, within the pure living entity, there is no material darkness and thus no experience of liberation from such darkness. When the conditioned soul comes in this platform of pure consciousness, he becomes fit to associate with the Supreme Pure, the personality of Godhead himself, in the Lord's own abode. Ajnana sangyo bhavabandha moksha do nama nanyo starutagya bhavat ajasra chityatmani kevale pare vicharya mane taranadivahane. So, Lord Brahma committed an offense, isn't it, at the feet of Brajvasis. So here Lord Brahma is praying Krishna for the forgiveness. This translation, which is in this sloka, was discussed by the sages. The sages are gathered at bank of Saraswati River, and they were performing the jagya. And usually when the sages gather, they're discussing philosophically different philosophical points. So the question was raised that there are three predominating deities in this material cosmos: Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And the question was, who is supreme? So they kind of sages decided, they appointed Bhrigu Muni to go and test these three deities and find out and bring us the result of the holier experience of taste, who would be the supreme. And the plan was to find out which one of the predominating deities possesses the quality of goodness in full. So Bhrigu Muni is the son of Lord Brahma. So he went to Lord Brahma's Brahmaloka. And usually when son goes to the parents or goes to the spiritual master, he prays, he offers obeisances. But here Bhrigu Muni intentionally did not offer obeisances or any prayers to his father, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma got angry for the impediments of his son, that here is my son and doesn't offer obeisances, doesn't any prayers, nothing. So Lord Brahma got angry with the Bhrigu Muni, and he was going to curse him. But Lord Bhrigu Muni happened to be, was his son. So even in Lord Brahma, the mode of passion is predominant, but he says he controlled his anger with his great intelligence, because Bhrigu Muni was his son. And Bhrigu Muni left from there. Then he went to Kailas to see Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is his brother of Bhrigu Muni. So Lord Shiva was very happy to see his brother coming to see him. And Lord Shiva got up, and Lord Shiva wanted to embrace his brother, Bhrigu Muni wanted to test him. Bhrigu Muni said, No, you cannot touch me. Your body is unclean. Your body is covered with ashes. You are unclean. You cannot touch me. So, Lord Shiva, he got angry. He was so angry that he got up with his trident and he wanted to kill him. But of course, Mother Parvati was there. So Mother Parvati stopped him. Mother Parvati laid down at Lord Shiva's feet and specified him with the good words. And by that, she predominated Lord Shiva's goodness. So then, from there, Bhrigu Muni went to Shvetadvip, where Lord Vishnu is residing on the bed of flowers, and the goddess of fortune is massaging his feet. So Lord Bhrigu Muni went to the Vishnu. And here, now, Bhrigu Muni had committed already two offenses. One offense he committed with his mind at the feet of Lord Brahma. Second offense he committed by his speech at the feet of Lord Shiva. And now he is going to commit third offense, and which is offense by the body, bodily offense, which is a grave, grave, big offense. So here, Bhrigu Muni went to Vishnu, and without saying anything, goddess of Lakshmi is there, fortune is there at the feet of massaging, and Lord Bhrigu Muni just kicked on the chest of Vishnu. No? But Bhrigu Muni was also an exalted Brahmana. So Vishnu respected him. Vishnu is magnanimous. He didn't take an offense. But it is said that Mother Lakshmi, goddess of fortune, was there. And because of from that side, that time onward, all the Brahmanas are poor. Mother Lakshmi doesn't, goddess of fortune doesn't give them the fortune. Lord Vishnu got up. Lord Vishnu and Mother, goddess of fortune, got up from his bed and offered obeisances to Bhrigu Muni. Not just that he started to praise. He said, "I'm sorry that when you came here in my Vaikunth planet, I didn't welcome you. I'm supposed to welcome you." And this is a great offense on my part. You are pure. I'm supposed to wash your feet with water. And that water I'm supposed to drink. See? And your feet are so soft. My chest is like a thunderbolt. Your feet must have hurt. Let me massage your feet. So Bhrigu Muni, Vishnu is starting to massage his feet. Not just that, but he is saying to Bhrigu Muni that now your feet has touched my chest, and because of that, now Lakshmi will is my chest is purified, so my Lakshmi, the Lakshmi goddess of fortune, will not leave. She will stay perpetually here. Bhrigu Muni was. He didn't know what to say by this whole magnanimous attitude of Lord Vishnu. He started to shed tears, he started to cry, and he couldn't say anything. He left from there, and he returned back to the sages, and he reported all his experiences with Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Vishnu to the sages. Now the sages were Brahmavadinam, but they were also very serious. Brahmavadinams are the sages who are following the path, but still they have not understood the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the sages were serious here. So by this listening what Bhrigu Muni's experience, they concluded that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Truth, the Personality of Godhead. And they were astonished that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they were agitated. While the Lord Vishnu was so magnanimous, he was even praising to Bhrigu Muni. Even though Bhrigu Muni had committed the greatest offense, bodily offense, is a grave offense. It is said that one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. And here, Lord Vishnu, we can see, he was not affected. So the sages concluded that if you want actually a peace and freedom from all fear, you should take the shelter unto the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Because they thought that how can Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they agitated, couldn't tolerate, how can his devotees can have a peace? And Lord Krishna already says in Bhagavad Gita, Suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam santim rishchiti bhoktaram jagat tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. I am seated as a friend within your heart and I bring the peace. The sages who knows that, they are peaceful. So sages concluded to follow the principles of Vaishnava Dharma. Now, following a religious principle of some sect, but not understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Vishnu, then it's a waste of time. See? To execute religious principles means to come to the platform of perfect knowledge. And what is that perfect knowledge? The perfect knowledge is that I am spirit soul, I am jivatma, there is paramatma, and there is a, we are qualitatively one, but quantitatively we are different, and I have relationship with Supreme. All jivatma has the relationship with Supreme. I am not this matter, which is in the translation is mentioned here. And I am a spirit. Now sages went further than that to have this knowledge. But how this knowledge is going to be realized? So here Lord Brahma is going to say, do the same thing further up. He will ask for the devotional service. So sages came to conclusion that this knowledge, having this knowledge is not going to enough, but we have to realize this knowledge, and that will come by the devotional service. And when the devotional service is performed, then you don't need to separately go to get siddhis or liberation or whatsoever. It's automatically devotional service. It will bring you renunciation, give you perfect knowledge, and you are on your way back to Godhead. Here, question might be, we will see further in the shlokas that Lord Brahma will ask for the forgiveness. Lord Brahma will say he wants to be a blade of grass so that all the gopis and Radharani's lotus feet can be touched on my head. Question might be raised that Lord Brahma is already, he's exalted personality. He has, you know, he is given the in charge of the creations by Krishna. He's already in the devotional service in a one sense, right? He is a creator, predominant deity of this material world, of this cosmos. So why would he ask for devotional service? To be a blade of grass? Because he is already performing devotional service. The answer is that he has committed an offense at the feet of Brajbasis. Brajbasis are life and soul for Krishna. Brajbasis are everything for Krishna. And same as Krishna is everything for Brajbasis too. Lord Brahma saw from above that here is this little boy from Brajbasis are eating, his cowherd friends are eating, and he's taking up his jutan, what do you call the remnants. He's snatching the food which is already his friends have taken, he's taking and snatching and eating it. Not just that, but he also saw that this boy, he's holding in his left hand food which is he holding in his left hand. So Lord Brahma is surprised to see that how is this my Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, here, if he's Bhagavan, then how is his cowherd, here, he's snatching the food from this boy's and holding hands in his left hand. So Lord Brahma has committed an offense here by taking away all the Brajvasis for 1 year according to our timing here, earthly planet timing, which is few seconds for him. He has committed an offense. Of course, we know that when Krishna does something, from one action of Krishna, he fulfills many other purposes are you know, what do you call, they are fulfilled purposes. There are many other purposes he achieves by one action. We know that all the elder gopis, they loved Krishna more than even their own sons. So Lord Krishna, of course, he expanded himself, yeah, as exactly as like their sons. And during that time, they loved, all the elder gopis loved their son more during that time than their own son, because he was Krishna. And same as the cowherd, same as the cows. Cows love their calves more during that time, 1 year, because Krishna had also expanded as all the calves. Not just that, but after some time the calves usually don't suck the milk from their mother, cow mother, after certain, when they are at the certain age. But here, Balaram will see that even the calves are a little bit older, but they are rushing to drink the milk from their mother cows. So Balaram was also astonished to see that. Then how is this calves who are older are running to drink the milk? This is Krishna. So Lord Brahma had, for 1 year of time, had separated his, Lord Krishna's beloved Vrijvasis, cowherd boys, and that was an offense. So Lord Brahma will be asking for the, as here praying, for the forgiveness of Krishna, Vishnu. And here in the purport, and here in the shloka, is the same point is discussed by the sages, by Brahma is mentioning, as discussed by the sages on the bank of Saraswati. Okay? Any questions? Any comments? Anything to add? Anything to subtract? Yes.
You're talking about devotional service. You mentioned how Lord Brahma is performing devotional service. So I was trying to understand, what is devotional service? A couple of questions came into my mind. Was Bhishma Dev, while he was fighting with the Pandavas, is that devotional service? Vritasura killing Indra, was that devotional service? Maybe you can talk about what is devotional service.
You are already doing it right now. That's devotional service. You are hearing Shravanam Kirtanam.
She wants to break down the past. Srila Prabhupada says, by his merciful purport, in the beginning of Nectar of Instruction and also Nectar of Devotion, both places, that Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, this Krishna consciousness movement is directly under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. Prabhupada put this. So why did Prabhupada say like this? This is just a question, search out. Because in his personal life, even Mula Prakriti's book, Mother Mula Prakriti's book, we find Srila Prabhupada's relationship with Rupa Goswami so intimately. Even he cried in the middle of the night. You all know the story that how Rupa Goswami appeared in him and before he came to the West. So then Srila Rupa Goswami, according to that book that Prabhupada was preaching on the basis of nectar of devotion. And nectar of devotion has a four section. Begin section is what is bhakti. Begin with result of bhakti. What is motivation to perform bhakti? So in the beginning, Prabhupada translated, there is a six result, kleshagni, subhada, mokshalagata akrit, sudurlaba, how rare, then Krishnananda, vishesh atma, and Sandarananda vishesh atma, Krishna akarshani. So these are the, then Prabhupada gave many pages, goes on that, result of bhakti. Then comes to the second, next chapter where it explains what is pure bhakti. Then there is a samanna bhakti, shuddha bhakti, then the mixed bhakti, all given. And but everything is based on this anna vilashita sunyam gena karma dhyanabritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. This is one verse I literally challenge to any devotee, because I was searching for months. One verse, Prabhupada says this part of it almost every chapter in entire of his literature. This is one. How important that verse. So we'll break down in a short because of the time. It says, pure devotional service is a cultivation of activities. It has to be activities. Cultivation of activities, not by sitting or doing nothing. Not yoga or jnana idea is almost rejected there. Cultivation of activities, but what do we have? We have mind, we have word, and we have body. So through these three things, cultivation of activities, which is exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. This should be the standard, first point. Exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. But then Rupa Goswami Pad writes, but in a favorable, anukulyena. Why favorable? If the sentiment is not there behind my offerings to the Lord for his pleasure, that favorable attitude, then it cannot be called pure bhakti. There has to be favorable attitude. I want to please. I want to please Prabhupada. I want to please Mahaprabhu. Why? I can give a whole reason why. Otherwise it will be blind. That devotee may leave. He has to have a complete conviction that why he is serving, to please his guru, Prabhupada, and Radha Samsundar. It is exclusively for Krishna in a favorable attitude. And then Rupa Goswami passes, jnana karma anabritam. Make sure it is not covered. So Prabhupada, sometimes he translates devoid of karma, jnana, yoga, etc. What is karma? Karma means so long I have a desire to enjoy the result and the action of my anything I do in my life. Say I am chanting. If anybody saw, everybody saw I am chanting, then that is not pure bhakti. That chanting is for the pleasure of my spiritual master. He said he wants me to chant and Mahaprabhu said he will be pleased, then this is bhakti. So any activities, even in the temple, any activities, it has to be always focused for the pleasure of Guru Krishna. So then he says it has to be devoid of karma. Means I should not have any self-motivation behind. Jnana. What is jnana? The eternal acceptance of Supreme Lord Krishna's eternal form, our relationship, and my eternal existence to serve. This has to be voluntarily accepted. And other idea like merging to the Brahman or become one, all other idea, that main two impersonal concept, that God was there, now he is in everything, or everything became God, all this idea has to be rejected. But not blindly. Prabhupada translated in second canto, very nicely, few purport. He said, one has to understand the thoroughly things and then put it back backside. You don't need to use it, but we have to understand and throw it in the backside. That's called jiva brahma ikka sajujya gyan. Then, then yoga, what is this eight mystic siddhi, has to be understood, and why it is not our ultimate goal, or everything has to be sorted out. Jnana karma adi anabritam. You uncover. Uncovering means not we are going to throw away everything. Whatever we can engage in Krishna service, we will engage it. Because I have a propensity to make money. If I want to be artificially become renounced, that is not proper. I should engage that mentality that, okay, I have that inclination, but I don't want to just enjoy for myself. I am working on my behalf of my guru for his pleasure. This business is like this. Surrender has to take place. Jnana karma dana abritam. Anukullana krishna anusilanam bhakti ruttama. Then it can be called as a pure bhakti. Now those who are coming to this path still want to speculate, Prabhupada says, about this goal and do whatever they want. Then it's become mix. So when I want to please, I know the goal of life, Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, in a purport, he says, I know the goal of life, but I still want to speculate, then it's a jnana mixed. I know the goal of life, I still want to do my individual independent, not everything with Guru Krishna's. And it's karma mishra. Prabhupada write this. That's how it's 81 types of bhakti, Kapil Dev is explaining. Here's a little shorter version.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, thank you. In the case of Bhishma, they're fighting. In the, I believe in Vishnu Puran, I read long time back, or I can give you reference if it is. I think it's Vishnu Puran. That Lord Krishna himself revealed to Bhishma Dev that I want to have a taste of that shivlari. In Vrindavan, he always fight. In Vaikuntha, he doesn't fight. So he has to come as a Nishingadev. And he sent Jaya Vijaya voluntarily wanted to come. He became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So, but in other Vaikuntha planet also, where devotee Vishnudev, who addressed Krishna at the dying bed, after Sarati, he wanted to see, also he addressed Prabhupada like Abhinaranya. So Prabhupada also put this, it appears like this is his object of love, Abhinaranya. So he knows Krishna is the origin of Narayana. Narayana means the shelter of the jiva, not only lying down on the ocean. There is the two meanings, but that is shelter of the jiva. So then Narayana, Abhinaranya, so then Krishna reveals, okay, you're going to go and I'm going to go and we'll have a shivlari fight. This is a one way to look at it. Why Krishna did this? Shri Krishna Chakuti Thakur even give details. If Krishna and Pandava is one side, can there be another side who is equal? No. That's not possible anybody. So if we look at Bhishma Dev's life, he has two boons, unparalleled, unprecedented for a fighter. One boon he got from his own father. You know that story of Santur Maharaj, how he gave Saptahuti as a one. And he sacrificed to be a brahmachari. And in that boon, Santuru Maharaj said, you die whenever you want. So who is going to kill him if he doesn't want to be killed? Is that possible? No. He is a, how do you say in English, unkillable? I don't know if it is English or something. Unkillable. So this is his one boon. Then when with Amba, was kind of a pursuing to really destroy Bhishma Dev, and she did all this puja and everything, still could not get it. She went to Parashuram. Who is going to compete with Parashuram? Nobody. Then Parashuram was convinced by her appeal, and he came in to fight. He was a guru of Bhishma Dev in a Astra Shastra. And as a guru fighting with disciple, of course disciple should be defeated, but not in this case. Guru was defeated. Then Parashuram gave him blessing, another blessing. First blessing in God, nobody can kill. Now he gave the blessing, you will be eternally victorious. Okay, when Dhritarashtra heard this of Bhishma Dev's position, why Dhritarashtra was promoting this idea of fight? He knew if we can get Bhishma Dev in our side, who is Krishna? He is not completely aware of it. Guarantee I'm going to win. Duryodhana is going to win. So Krishna is such a mischievous. When the five arrow story Prabhupada gives, right? You know the five arrow story. So when Bhishma Dev in the morning in the battlefield, you know what they do? The Pandava comes. They first pay obeisances to in the battlefield before the war to Bhishma Dev, and they go parikrama. They do three times parikrama, and then they glorify Bhishma Dev. You are our grandfather.
only wishes us best, we know. Please give us permission to fight against you. Vishwamitra says, victory, be victorious. What kind of blessing is this? Is he what is the enemy's side? But nobody hears. So then they go to Dronacharya. He was very sweet, his Mahabharata actually, very astonishing. And that day after everything is over, when Duryodhana was tempted him, and then Bhishmadev said, where's the fire? Bring me. He said, well, he realized this is the feast of Krishna. He said, oh, Arjuna took it last night because of, I owe him a boon before, and if you need help, I will give you. He said, all day. So anyway, that time Bhishmadev challenged that I'm going to really show Krishna. He broke my vow, I'm going to break his vow. He randomly started smashing Arjuna's chariot left, right, every corner of it. When Krishna saw this, he could not tolerate. Why? Because of his Atsulya bhav. His affection for Arjuna so much. Even Krishna cried. When Ashwatthama was shooting arrow like a crazy, Arjuna just stood right in front of Krishna. In the middle of battlefield, nobody saw. And Krishna was watching. Why he's acting like this? He's going to be killed. He doesn't care. No, Arjuna thought, later on, of course, Arjuna revealed this in 15th chapter, first canto, that none of the arrow even touches here, what to talk about piercing. But seeing Krishna, Arjuna's love for him, Krishna literally was overwhelmed. This is just before Vishwadev started. So when Vishwadev started to attack him, Arjuna, Krishna said, This is I cannot live without my friend. So he immediately got up. Now there is a two scenery took place. One scenery that Bhishmadev saw that Krishna pulled out the wheel of the chariot and he ran. Where Prabhupada says, very poetic, Prabhupada is a really poetic. I never even knew what is love bite between the couples. Love bite. Prabhupada mentioned at least three times in the purport. In the first canto, 9th chapter, you look at it. And then Prabhupada said, when Krishna attacked him, and Bhishmadev was overwhelmed, and their loving relationship, and Bhishmadev was shooting arrow, and the blood is coming out, but this blood is like a love bite. You figure it out, what Krishna was enjoying, what Bhishma was enjoying. Love bite generally you don't complain. So that cannot be complained. So that time, Bhishmadev really satisfied Krishna's desire. And Krishna loved him. And Vishwadev was remembering Vrindavan, that his upper part was falling down. And Vishwadev was, wow, how vigorous he is going to fight with me, that his Uttariya falling, he is not even careful. Generally, I am very careful when Uttariya falling, I am coming back. So I can see that as like so astonishing. He pleased Vishwadev. That was pure devotion. That was pure bhakti, because he pleased the Lord. Another scenery took place, other soil, where Shikhandi came. Because Bhishmadev also took bow, three things. I don't want to fight with a woman, because generally the great hero, the hero, they protect the woman. They do not fight or argue or whatever, abuse. So he said, I will not fight with the woman, or if anybody acts like a woman, or if anybody was a woman last life and taking advantage. So he obviously knew from his mother, Ganga Devi, who actually told him that, and he took a bath. So Shikhandi is coming and making such a hilarious, ha, I'm going to fight with you. It's like a very, such a greatest hero, and somebody make it like a funny dancing posture to kill. Vishnu said, this is sickening, I cannot fight. And it's voluntarily true. Who made this? Krishna. He made Shikhandi to act such a way. Vishnu said, I better die. Okay. He just desired to die and he wanted to give up the battle. Then where the Arjuna started shooting. Krishna actually was very pleased with Bhishma, the way Bhishma did.
Thank you.
So that's Bhishma.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.